Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome, everybody. It's Tuesday, and you know what that means. It means it's not Monday, A, but most importantly, B, it's a new episode of Glamour's Hey, It's Okay. We are so excited to be here with you. I didn't get to do it last week. I didn't get to do Elizabeth Hurley on the podcast, but we've got someone even better this week in the form of the fabulous author, Marion Keyes. Hello.
Hello, Joe.
And joining me today, as always, is one of my favourite Glamour staffers, but I can't really name my absolute favourite. But you're
I'm here, so just say it's me.
Definitely top 13.
If I stand on your foot really hard, yeah. become me.
We have our fashion and beauty retail executive editor. It's Claudia Mahoney.
Hello, hello.
You've got such a long title. How important are you?
I'm very. I'm the grand fromage.
Yeah, you do the important stuff as far as I'm
concerned.
Well,
then what am I sweating here for? Why don't I just leave it to you?
Okay, fine. I've got this.
So anyway, it's really not about you today, Claude. It's all about Marion. She's flown over from Ireland just to be here with
Especially.
Us. That's yes. right, isn't it?
Yes.
I'm not making that up.
I flew the plane myself. Yes.
Yeah. Is the cupboard everything you've dreamed and heard about so far?
It is. I mean, the whole Glamour offices are just magnificent. Your fabulous corner office with those lovely goodie bags. Yes. I will say no more.
It's good. I've even shown you the bathrooms, and they're really exciting.
They were lovely.
Saying all this without laughing or cracking a smile or with a straight face.
Oh, no,
Glamour is an ironic
term. No, yeah. It's not. No. You've obviously worked here for too long. It's fabulous.
Oh, what kind of a hole do you work in?
I work in my spare bedroom.
Right.
Yeah, which is very small to start with, and I have a mini desk because I'm so short. So literally, I had to have a special miniature short person's desk made with a matching chair. It is mortifying. It's like something you'd find in a 7-year-old's school class.
It's sounding quite Sylvanian families.
Yeah, a bit hobbity. Yeah. Yes, it is. It actually is.
That's so... I bet you hate being called cute, don't you?
It happens very rarely. No, short and wide is normally what I'm called. So
wide?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah,
I mean, sorry,
square.
Small, petite.
Yeah, you are vertically challenged, as they used to say in the 90s.
Yes, yes.
Well, how tall are you?
I am just under 5 foot.
And are you... I know a lot of sort of like shorter people who are a bit weird about that, but when I was a kid and I was the sort of like the tall, gangly one, my best friend was really, really like... for her age, abnormally short and cute. And oh God, I used to get so jealous because people would like to talk to her like she was a puppy, and I just think that was great. Oh no, my God, you're so cute. And she used to get away with things because she was the short, cute one.
No, I mean, what I suffer from more than anything is invisibility. Mm. And it happened to me last night again. I was in a well-known bookstore and I needed to buy a book urgently, as it happens from time to time. And there was one man at the desk talking to another young man, a customer, and they were being super geeky. They were talking about, you know, fantasy novels. And he saw I was there and he basically ignored me until I started nodding along and agreeing with what both of them were saying. And I mean, I could really understand, you know, the urge to just discreet, you know, it's all fine and well, I'll get it on Kindle. But I thought, no, I am going to break him. I am going to stick it out. And eventually the customer apologised to me, but not the man, the salesperson. And no, so I suffer from invisibility. It's like, you know, she's not really tall enough to be a real person. So I won't bother giving her kind of courtesy or manners. So yeah, I get that a lot. Where
do they know who you are?
Clearly they didn't.
You are like best-selling author of, you know,
well,
of all the world. Of Christendom. Yeah.
Well, I'm not. And I also think, I mean, it might be an Irish thing, but you cannot go around acting like that, because you would be stripped of your Irish citizenship. Like, you know, Bono can go to Tesco's and be buying milk and nobody would approach him, because it would be a kind of an undemocratic way to live. No, so nobody ever gets above themselves in Ireland.
We just get back to, there is no actual way that Bono has been to Tesco and bought a pint of milk in about 55 years.
It's probably been a long,
years.
Long time. Yeah, yeah. I'd say he's lactose intolerant, or at least he's says he is anyway.
Well, unless I always imagine there's a whole super separate secret celebrity world where
supermarkets.
Yes.
Yeah,
there is just for them.
There is a Tesco that's just for celebrities, and it's got food that we've never heard of, and we're not allowed to know about. Until
because it would ruin everything. Yeah, you're probably right.
I think I probably am.
Why don't we know about it?
Because we're not
celebrities. Is there a club card for it?
I think the door is in the back of this cupboard somewhere, to
like a Narnia
alternate universe.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, but. Yeah, I don't know what else to say about that, really. Tell us about your book, Marion. It's got a rather aptly called Making It Up As I Go Along, which I kind of feel is probably a better title for the podcast. But if you want it for your book, I guess it's out now.
Thank you.
We can
both have it.
Yeah.
It's normally I write novels. excuse me. But this is a collection of journalism and personal pieces. And for a long time, I used to write a newsletter every month for my website, where I would tell, I mean, mostly it was about the various illnesses that had befallen me and my family in the previous 28 days.
Oh, that is good stuff. I like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah. I do. I am proud to say I come from the sickest family in Ireland. So I have an awful lot of good stuff to share about that.
I don't want to interrupt you. That reminds me, have you ever read Take a Break magazine? That's one of my guilty pleasures.
My mother gets it. It's horrific, is it? Like, I fell in love with my daughter's husband.
I had a baby in my leggings in Tesco.
Yes, while watching Jeremy Kyle.
But my favourite regular in that was called My Operation.
It was wonderful.
People would write in and tell.
I think hysterectomies.
That'd be like porn for you, I think, by the sound of it.
Yeah, my mother does get it. And I think she probably gets some of her ideas from it as well. Because we did have a medical encyclopedia in the family home, which we did all work our way through. We either got them for real or we thought we had the illnesses. But now, Take a Break fulfils that role.
Well, maybe working as like the receptionist in my local GP, she takes it upon herself when you ring up for an appointment to ask you what's wrong and really sort of tell you her opinion about whether or not you actually need the appointment or not.
Yeah, well, I do that too. And you know, on planes where like they say the thing of, if there's a doctor on board, can she make herself available? Like, I am unclicking my seatbelt and I'm halfway out of my seat before I realise that I'm not actually an actual qualified actual doctor with a degree. But you know, I am a white witch that way. I can heal people. I can
the
diagnose.
Laying on of hands and clutching of crystals. Yes.
I'm with you there. I'm such a hypochondriac that I'm with you. I know about a lot of illnesses, and people come in and say, oh, my leg's hanging off, oh, my nose, this, oh, my eyes twitching. I've usually got a good idea of what it is.
Yes.
I'm basically a doctor.
Yes, you are. Yeah.
Effectively qualified. My husband accuses me of thinking that I'm qualified in everything, law, medicine. But he's right. I mean, I'm right, actually.
Yeah.
Generally.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah. We don't need those letters after our names.
So
7 years of study.
Is there lots of medical advice in your book? Is that what you're telling me?
Well, there is a lot of stuff about being sick and coming from a very ill family. That's part of it. Part of it is about, I suppose, being neurotic and being suffering from depression and how I have approached life and managed to coexist with it. Mm. So there's sort of some genuine wisdom in there. And then there's stuff about makeup. There's stuff about exotic places I've been to, like Antarctica. And there are pieces about meeting famous people that I love. So it's, you know, it's pieces that you can dip in and dip out of. And some of them hopefully will make the reader laugh. And some of them might be of some comfort.
Well, it's interesting you talk on, you touch on the mental health thing. And I think that you're an example of something that I'm always trying to explain to people. We do a lot of mental health work in the pages of Glamour and online. But I think it's perfectly possible to be a very happy and a very sad person in some sort of like complex bubble. Do you feel that? Is that something that you've struggled with?
Yes. I mean, I think most of us are. I mean, most of us will experience, you know, all extremes of emotion throughout our life. And I made the mistake for many, many years of thinking that if I felt afraid or grief-stricken or sad or just low, that I was somehow doing something wrong, that I wasn't kind of embracing those emotions as just part of the totality of human experience. I just thought that when I was doing life finally right, I would be happy all the time. And until I had achieved that kind of grown-up perfect state, that there were things that I needed to change or needed to try, or, you know, a different way of living, or to do meditation, or, you know, go back and ask for more antidepressants or whatever. And yes, I do feel at this stage perfectly accepting. Well, actually, no, I'm never delighted when I wake up and feel the fear or the glums or, you know, the free-floating horrors. But I've got better at saying, but it's just all part of the human experience. So it'd be kind of the journey between feeling it and accepting it has got shorter. But I always rebel. I don't think anybody willingly embraces pain. But it's inevitable for as long as we're alive. And it does also mean now that if something good happens, instead of regarding it as just a sign of things to come, I think this is it. This moment is the happy moment. And there might be, you know, 10 unpleasant moments after it, but another one will come. And I'm talking about small stuff, like a smile from my nephew.
It is the hardest thing for humans to get their head around, I think, is just to live in the now.
Moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to kind of consciously appreciate anything small and lovely. You know, like the people can't see it now, but you are wearing a beautiful jumper and that makes me happy to look at it.
Thank you very much. It's making me sweat buckets right now, I'll be honest with you.
You know, but
do you mind if
I
take it off?
Yeah, sure, walk away. No, we'll see you, Joe. Or a Percy Pig, you know, or a nice cup of
Percy
coffee.
Percy Pig is always happy.
And
images.
Yes. Consequently, it's coincidentally the same colour as my jumper.
Yes.
I like
that's
pink.
Probably why I love it so much.
Yeah,
yes.
Wise Irish poet Ronan Keating said, life is a roller coaster. You've just got to ride it.
Yes.
God, you're so deep.
You're so wise.
Yeah. Thanks. I just thought that after Marina just said that, very sort of profound.
You've got to get that quote on Instagram right now. Like 5 billion likes.
Uninspirational or whatever that Instagram site is.
I know,
it's so
I love
funny.
It. Because I can't, funny enough, having said all that, I can't bear motivational quotes.
Oh, they're the
and
worst.
That thing, what is it again? The one about life isn't about waiting for the storm to pass. It's about learning to dance in the rain. That makes me want to go berserk with a hammer. It drives me insane.
Kind of want to see what that would look like, if I'm honest.
Yes.
Hey, It's Okay, Marianne. We kind of like dissect and debate topics that are sort of like go from extremely important and deep and relevant to us all to completely irrelevant and meaningless. And I think Christmas kind of sits somewhere in the middle of all of that. I mean, hey, it's okay. I'm very divided on Christmas. Is it okay to hate Christmas? Is it okay to be a big old Will Ferrell in Elf Cheezo who adores every second of Christmas? I kind of feel like you're going to have a strong view on this, Marianne.
I have a very strong view on it. I absolutely abhor Christmas and I completely refuse to have anything to do with it.
Well, the baby Jesus
what,
is
no
crying.
Presents?
No presents.
No tree?
No tree.
No turkey?
No turkey, no
my
cards.
My voice is getting quite tight and rising.
No decorations, no family. I go for a walk with my friend Posh Kate and Posh Malcolm on Christmas Day. And
they hate Christmas?
They absolutely hate it. However, they do sometimes cheat and they bring like mini mince pies.
That's
yeah, and turkey sandwiches, which I really get annoyed about.
That is ruining the Calvinist vibe
there. And I never send cards. And actually, the first year I decided not to send cards, it was really, really hard because the guilt was terrible because cards started arriving in and I nearly cracked several times. And but it must be like committing murder, like that your first one is the hardest because subsequent years, it's been no bother to me. And the thing is, one of the reasons I really, really hate it is that it's especially hard for women. And like more marriages break up, like divorce lawyers are like overrun with work on the 1st of January because people crack under the pressure. And it's a lonely time, you know, for people who mightn't be living the perfect life as they might see it. And it's a time of awful financial hardship. You know, I am so against it. I just think it makes no allowances for people who don't have life easy. And I want to lead the way by, I won't even see my family. And they get so cross with me. And I love them a lot. I do. But I won't.
But do you have any other celebrations in the year that you would see all your family and sort of agree to and all get together on?
But
it doesn't involve a tree and turkey.
Yes. I mean, the thing is, it's probably easier for me because I live close to a lot of them. And I see them every Friday. And you know, frankly, that's plenty.
I'll say.
And I will always
I don't know them, but that's excessive.
Well, you see, it's wonderful because nobody has any manners in my family. So like there isn't enough room for everyone at the table anyway. So if the conversation is boring you, you can just pick up your dinner and walk out of the room. And then you can go upstairs and lie on the landing because it's the only place in the house where you can get Wi-Fi from next door.
But I'll be honest, that sounds like Christmas Day at my family's.
That kind of relaxed approach works. Yeah, I mean, if there's no pressure on people, that's fine. But the minute people start, you see, my mother cries and has always cried about the turkey. And it's always horrible and we don't eat it.
I have the Christmas Day story. Because I'm from Australia, as a lot of people know, and I haven't been home for Christmas for a couple now. I went in 2014 and I'm going to get disowned by my family when I tell this story, just to say. But there was a huge fight in the family. And I think what happens is what you're saying is I don't see my family often. So my mother has this rictus grin on and wants it to be the most perfect Christmas ever because, you know, she doesn't get to see her granddaughter very often and all of those things. It was a very pleasant afternoon. I went to the loo. I went and poured myself another glass of wine.
You went to the loo as your sort of top activity on Christmas Day.
Well, no, I was just going to tell you that as I left the room, what I'm saying is as I left the room in the perfectly almost idyllic scene, you know, it was getting a bit boring, but a bit comfortable silences, as you say. I did something mundane that took 90 seconds, maybe, out of my very heavy Christmas schedule. I weed. It's very efficient about it. Got straight back into pouring the wine. When I walked back into the idyllic room, my sister she had all her presents with her sort of like bewildered husband sort of like running behind her. And she screamed at us all to F off and rot in hell on Christmas Day. It's kind of my favourite Christmas ever because I just can't believe how sort of like...
How would that come about in 90 seconds?
I know it's so awful, my poor mum, but it was just like, it's just my evil sense of humour. It's like, you wanted a perfect Christmas and you got possibly the worst Christmas that we'd ever had.
Yes.
And it was all fine the next day.
I come from the opposite end of the spectrum and Celtic, Welsh, big family, and I love it. And I don't live in Wales anymore. So seeing them and seeing all my cousins, etc., all squashed into the room together is my idea of heaven. And we are a bit like the Waltons. We're not very loving in that we don't ever tell each other that sort of thing, because that would make me come out in slightly hives, you know, the thought of it. But we are a very affectionate family nonetheless. And just the whole sort of being together and the fun of it and the ritual and the eating and the drinking and the games, etc. I just love it. And the first ever Christmas that I ever had to have away with my in-laws, I can remember going upstairs to have a little weep that I wasn't at home and ringing home and they all collected round the phone to shout out Merry Christmas to me. And I, oh God, I'm going to make myself cry thinking about it. Oh, honestly, like just being away from them all, it was just so awful. So now I'm in this perpetual thing of my husband wants to do alternate years.
Yeah.
That I have to try and think of an excuse to be back in Wales. And I've had my children, so I can't sort of keep saying, oh, I'm pregnant. I really think I should be near my mum. And, you know, they're quite small, the babies. It'd be good to be near my mum. I can't. If anyone's got any reasons or excuses to give me, that would be great. But I'm against the whole kind of September Christmas lights on Oxford Street.
Yes.
The commercial bit of it, I'm not down with that at all. But the
and I'm with you, Marion. I don't like the pressure that puts on people.
No,
and I don't. And I think that you're so obviously so fortunate to. And
I appreciate that because I'm not sort of saying that.
I'd like to stress I have a lovely family too.
Yeah,
things just got a bit out of hand that
of
day.
Course.
But it's, you know, I completely appreciate the sentiment that, you know, it's we like to put this gloss and pretend that Christmas is this perfect day, and it's for a lot of people it's not, and I think that it's worth remembering that sometimes.
Yeah, and I agree with both of you. I mean, I have been at Christmases where people have lost the head and shrieked and told everyone to F off. But also, Claudia, I mean, I love my family and I'm very, very fond of them and I'm very close to them. And I suppose when I didn't live in Dublin, Christmas was important because I got to see them.
Yes.
Even though we would all end up shrieking at each other and hating our presents and crying.
Yes.
Mm. So I don't know if we've come to any conclusion. I think it's
everyone come for Christmas at mine.
That sounds perfect.
I mean, I think it's okay.
Or at my mum's, because then I've got an excuse to go to Wales.
Just to make your peace with Christmas, and nobody should feel that they should love
to
it or hate
you.
It.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's going to happen.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Right, Marion Keyes, Claudia Mahoney. Now we're going to talk about, now we've solved Christmas.
Yeah.
We've nailed that. Totally nailed everyone, the way everybody should and think and indeed feel about Christmas.
Yep.
This one's going to be easy. We're going to talk about feminism.
Yes, fantastic.
Dead easy. Tick. Yes. Done.
In 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Be fine.
So the reason I want to talk to you about feminism, Marion, is because I know that like me, you love makeup. There's a whole chapter in your lovely new book, Making It Up As I Go Along, out now, where you talk about how you've never looked back from discovering foundation. And
yeah.
You know, and I kind of, I really, that really struck a chord with me because my pint of milk face, going out for a pint of milk face probably takes about 15 minutes.
Easily. Me.
So, and, you know, a lot of people would tell us that we're bad feminists for that. So I just want to know what you think of that before I launch in.
Okay, well, I mean, I agree with you about, you know, being told that we're bad feminists for that. I think you and I might be a kind of a similar generation in that, you know, we...
And skin tone.
Yes.
Which makes it
It extra important to have the foundation. Yeah. But I think, you know, after the second wave of feminism, we were told by them that you were a bad feminist if you made yourself pretty because you were only doing it to be you were objectifying yourself for men. But now that, you know, we've moved on and we're probably at the fourth wave of feminism now, the younger women have completely rewritten the rules, and I'm so grateful to them for it. And I mean, now I would call myself an intersectional feminist. My 16-year-old niece had to explain that to me.
Can you explain it to me? Well, I feel like I should know, but I'm going to learn right now.
Yeah. I mean, not feminism until the, well, at, by the end of the second wave, was something that really was only, it was college-educated, white, middle-class women. And it didn't take any account of classism or racism. Mm. You know, an awful lot of women were excluded from the conversation. And so intersectional feminism is where class, gender and race, you know, the nexus where the three of them intersect, so that it, you know, intersectional feminism is a much wider school of thought. So yes, apparently I am one. She's 16. She says I am. I trust her. And I mean, I do really care about everything that pertains to how women are treated as second-class citizens. But I also believe that no one has the right to judge me for anything that I do to my appearance. And I don't think other women judge me. Definitely not.
Actually, I think women, other women judge you if you don't wear it sometimes. I think, you know, if you sort of look sort of a bit run down and sort of...
Blue-stockingish.
Yes.
Yeah. No, there's see, I love that as well. I love people who are confident enough to not wear any. And I don't have any tattoos. I mean, inkings. But I love women. Well, I love anyone who will take possession of their look and interfere with it in whatever way they want. I think it's thrilling. So I think makeup is kind of way down the list of the ways we change our appearance. And it's lovely because now we can just, well, I feel I can buy 12 lip glosses and have them in the bottom of my handbag and not be ashamed.
Yeah. I mean, I have respect for the view that, you know, things like makeup and products are there because to mask invented problems, to mask invented things that are wrong, like flaws.
Make us feel worse about ourselves than we already do.
Yeah. So, you know, so I understand that, oh, you know, we don't have to cover our spots. We don't have to cover our dark circles. So I appreciate that sort of argument against makeup.
Yeah, and the argument that says you must not look old. Like, yes. That's a horrible one.
I completely agree. But
it depends on your intent. Yes, it depends on your intent when you put it on. Are you putting it on as a mask or are you doing it with a sort of... I mean, I'm just doing it as a courtesy to let other people know I'm alive. So
I just don't want to frighten the children, you know. It's like they've got enough going on with this clown craze that I keep hearing about. But although sometimes I do accidentally Barbara Cartland it if it's been in sort of a bad light. But
when we first moved out to the sticks, I used to do the nursery run at this little cute little nursery school when the children were really little. And if you ever even wore sort of shorts in the summer or had brushed your hair or had some mascara on, some of the other mothers there would sort of look at you like you were less of a mother because you've taken care of your appearance.
I think that's really interesting. I think that's a very British thing, that if you've spent any time on your appearance, then you're a trivial person whose mind isn't on higher things. And I don't like that.
They're not. My mind is not on higher things. You know, I'm okay with that.
But I think, you know, you can't have a job like yours and mine, Claude, where we've just been to all the shows and not make an effort. You can't have a job like yours when you're doing appearances and, you know, you want, it is,
you're as naturally beautiful as Alicia Keys.
Yeah.
Making a stand about not wearing makeup.
Rightly or wrongly, we all present differently to the world if we all feel we look the best we can look.
Yes.
And I just don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, and I don't either. Mm. And I mean, not to conflate the two entirely, but like, you know, a lot of men love football. To me, it is like 22 men running around a field chasing a ball. They spend plenty of money on those tickets. You know, they set aside time. There's a lot of coverage in newspapers and on the television, and they never have to apologise for it.
Yep.
And I'm not going to apologise for the things that I love. And I think that kind of standing up for ourselves and saying, no, you can't shout us down, you can't shut us up, we love it, and get used to it.
What is it about, you know, sort of like traditionally women's interests and pursuits that everyone has decided are a bit crap? What is that?
Well, it's a way of undermining us. Mm. It's a way of making sure that we don't know what we're worth, that we don't insist that we get paid the same as men for doing the same work. It's that we don't insist that every rape case even gets to a court, never mind where rapists are convicted. It's where domestic violence is not treated as a real concern. It means, and I'm sorry to sound so ranty, but it means that they get to hold on to more of the power and the money than women have. And, you know, it's by undermining us right at our core and making us feel that our concerns are less worthy. It makes us feel apologetic about everything.
Mm. I have to say, that's probably the sweetest, politest tone of a rant I've ever heard. But I like your ranting, Marion.
Thank you. Thank you.
This is a bit of a loaded one for you.
If you say no to this, well, I'll leave the question first.
Well, I might have to explain myself. I just think we were just talking about, you know, why are things that women are into considered kind of crap? And I think that label gets bandied around a lot with I mean, I hate the term chick lit, but it's, yeah. but it's, you know, a lot of actually really fantastic women's literature gets labelled that. But then again, what's wrong with liking a really good, solid, happy ending of a romance novel? You know, you're not entirely romance, but you're sort of like female pursuit books are bestsellers. Yeah. Jojo Moyes has just had a huge dominating run in the cinema with her book Me Without You. We've had Jilly Cooper is like back top of the book's bestsellers list.
Just finished reading it.
You know, but then there is a little bit of a thing where if you're not reading The Corrections or A Little Life on the Tube, then you feel a bit funny. What is that? What do you think about that?
Well, I think it is hard to be, labelled as a lightweight. And I will say that, like, in my books, I do write about things other than relationships. But I would also say that there are many ways to live a life, and that if you feel like reading about heterosexual relationships with happy endings isn't for you, then that's absolutely fine. And I would also, I would never like to give the message that, you know, that a man completes us. I think that's an awful message. I don't think any human being is ever complete. I think you can be lucky and find a wonderful partner or a comrade to kind of walk alongside you through life. But that we must never kind of think that a man is the answer to all our problems. Mm. But having said all of those things, I find it impossible not to write happy endings. I mean, people, very well-meaning people, have said to me, you know, you could really be taken seriously as a writer if you could just knock off the happy endings.
Wow.
I'm unable to, and it's a great weakness. I mean, as a writer, I know that it holds me back, but I suppose I find the world tough and painful and sharp-edged a lot of the time. And yeah, it is, you know, a lot of my endings, my characters go through a lot of stuff, and they do end up with somebody who is worthy of them, and I do feel apologetic about it.
You really shouldn't. I love your books, and without wanting to be some creepy brown nose, honestly, I love them, and I think that a balance of the sort of high, low, middle ground, whatever, is a really healthy and good thing in all aspects of life, in literature as well.
And Jonathan Franzen is always there for us as well. You know,
do you find, as an author, is there, peaks and ebbs in when people are really hungry for a happier ending, or do you know, because I think about the world is so bleak at the moment. Is that having a surge on wanting that escapist
I think so. I mean, the world is very, very scary right now, and I can't really read hard news at the moment. Like, I'm aware of it, but I can't get down and dirty with it because it just distresses me so much. So I am choosing to read happier stuff, and I'm going back to old stuff, things that I've read before, where I know I can depend on them, that they're not going to kind of ambush me with something grim right at the end.
I chose to read the Jilly Cooper Mount book before I got on a flight to New York, and I'm not a fan of flying.
Dirty bitch.
I know. I was so nervous, honestly, and I was looking at all these other books and thinking, oh, I should read that.
Yes.
And I suddenly thought, oh, who am I kidding? I just want to be distracted.
No. Yeah. And I think...
But can I just say, I'm so upset about what happened with Rupert Campbell Black in it.
Well, don't do any spoilers.
I won't ruin it. But honestly, if you still think that he's the hero at the end of this piece...
Honestly, on a plane, always have the wine and always read Hello in case it crashes. What if you denied yourself and the plane crashes? Yes. It's my theory. I've always...
Life's pleasures.
Yeah. The new Graham Norton book is lovely.
Oh, I've heard that. I've seen it on a desk downstairs.
We love Graham Norton.
Oh, it's a beautiful book. It's a very, very touching, a sweet book. And it's not, you know, because he is so funny and witty and arch. It's not like that at all.
But he's really honest in it, I hear.
It's beautiful. Yeah. He writes about lonely people who live stalled lives, and then something happens and everything starts moving again. It's honest to God gorgeous. It's one of those heart hug books.
I love it when he does the agony column in, I think it's The Observer. I think he's just so wise. Yeah, so I'm going to look forward to that one. I think I could change the perception of... the women's, for a better word, chick lit stable with just one directive. No more big shoes on the cover of women's books.
Yes.
What is the deal with the big stiletto on the cover of so many? I don't know if I'm just making that up. I feel like when I'm looking in train stations and there's a new book come out and it's, you know, clearly aimed at women.
It's a pink shoe.
Somebody in the art department goes, I know, let's stick a stiletto on that. And I mean, I know it's hard to sell books and you want to communicate with your audience quickly, but there's got to be another way.
I'll tell them, Joe.
Please do, Marion.
Tomorrow I'll go in and I will tell all of publishing. No, I will. It's a good point.
I knew I had a purpose in life. Yes. And this is it. This whole moment has led to this.
You can retire.
Well, that's all we've got time for today, which is absolutely devastating.
It is. It's gone so quickly.
It's been wonderful.
Thank you so much, Claudia Mahoney, for
thank
being
you,
my
Joe
able
Alden.
Partner in crime.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Marion Keyes, for being here today.
An absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me. I've loved it.
And come back to the cupboard anytime.
I will.
And please all rush out and buy Marion's new book, Making It Up As I Go Along.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.